All right, Brother Luis is going to come up. I wanted him to speak to us tonight. I want us to hear him, and he's one of our guys, and we're proud of him, proud of his family, his wife, and they've been faithful here, and we're looking forward how we can partner with them and get him, help him to get to the mission field in May. So, Brother Luis, why don't you come?
All right. Thank you very much. Get my papers here. I normally only have a little paper for Spanish, but for English I have to write everything. You know? Oh, okay. Well, God called me to the ministry. He called me to go back to my country. That's in Guatemala. You know, I already introduced myself, so I'm just going to keep going where I left. So he called me to the ministry, going back to Guatemala, and when he called me, you know, I was asking him if he wanted me to be here, but he was clear on telling me that he wanted me back in my country. And then, let me tell you something, Guatemala is not in Mexico. I just want to clarify that because many people, I had like three or four people already that they said, in what part of Mexico is Guatemala? It's not in Mexico, it's Central America, you know. It's in Central America, so it's a different country. And please pray for us as we are getting ready to leave the country. We leave in May 8th. That's exactly 15 weeks from now that we are leaving. And probably I'm not going to be able to come back to the country, or maybe it's going to take me some years to come. You know, it depends. You know, it's up to God and Donald Trump. You know, when I'm going to come. But I would like to invite you to come to my country. You know, we are planning to have like a soul winning rally in the month of December. And in the month of December is because we have a summertime over there in between October to April. That's when we have summertime over there. And between October to January, we have the harvest coffee in my country. So when we have the harvest coffee, many indigenous people come from far away to my town to do the harvest coffee. And my brother, he has a farm of coffee over there, and I have access to the indigenous people. So Brother Joseph Esposito and Brother Timothy, they are coming in the month of December to help us out over there. And if you want to come, you are welcome to come. It's only like 4.5 hours in a plane. And tickets are not too expensive. So if you want to come, you are welcome. And for sure, you're going to be blessing for in the ministry over there. And we also going to take you around, you know, to see to the city and all that. And it's safe. It's not crazy like you hear in the news. No, it's safe there. So anyways, you are invited to come to Guatemala. And also, I'm going to be praying, you know, that God probably can talk and put in the heart of some of you to come to Guatemala and serve in Guatemala. You never know. Probably God can put in your heart and come for 6 months, 1 year, who knows? Oh, I don't speak Spanish, but we have good Spanish teachers over there. We can help you with that Spanish. And even if you don't learn the Spanish, you can be a blessing to any ministry in any country just with your presence there, you know, just doing something, okay? So just pray for us, and also pray for us. My mother, she offered us a place to stay over there. But she's 71 years old, and, you know, I have four very active kids that, you know, I don't want to cause more, you know, like unnecessary stress on her. So we are planning to rent a house. So the renting of the house is going to cost between $200 and $250 a month. So, that's cheap. It's cheap for you. But over there is a lot of money, you know. So we are planning to rent a house anyways. But just pray for us. We own a little a piece of land where we can build our own house. To build a house over there, it's going to cost us between $5,000 to $10,000. And do I have the money? No, I don't have the money. But just pray for us that, you know, God can give us the money so we don't have to rent and waste that money on renting. Yeah. You know, I say waste because it's going to go to someone else, not to myself, you know. So just pray for us, please. Where am I? Oh, okay. So just pray for us. And another prayer request is that if you can please pray. We have some upcoming trips. This like 2-3 days ago, a pastor from Riverview in Pasco, he called me that he wants me over there for two meetings, and he's gonna support me, and we're gonna be there for 1 week, and we're gonna be driving over there. And I don't know. I think there's a snow right now through Nevada or wherever you, the fire, any freeway you go up there, you're gonna find the snow. So just pray for us that. For protection, and coming back from there, we're gonna go to North Carolina. So just pray for us that God can give us the support that we need. And okay, I will preach a similar but a little different message to the one that I preached this morning in Bible College. And I was gonna give my testimony with not too much details like I did in college, but I ask. You know, if I can give the details I give, and Bro Joseph said, no, just give the details. So, okay, so I'm gonna give my testimony the way I did it over there, okay? So I want to ask you to please stand up with me. We're going to pray. And after praying, we're going to read the Bible. But I don't know if Bro Joseph can come up here and read the Bible for me. Can you do it, please? One of the worst things, no worst things, but one of the hardest things for me is to read the Bible in English, you know. It's like if you're going to get a Spanish Bible, you won't understand, you know. That's the way I am, you know. But we're going to pray. Please close your eyes. I'm going to pray in Spanish. It's no talking in tongues. I'm not Pentecostal, but this is Spanish, okay, in case you're wondering, okay. So we're gonna just close your eyes and we're going to pray. Señor, gracias por la oportunidad que me das de estar acá en mi iglesia. Señor, tú sabes que no estoy aquí para impresionar a nadie. Señor, yo no soy un gran predicador. Tú sabes que no pretendo ser nadie, pero Padre bendito, dependo de ti. Y yo te pido, Señor, mi Dios, que hables a estas personas y que me des facilidad de palabra, que me des tu bendición, tu gracia y tu favor en la predicación. Por favor, te lo pido, tome control de cada persona aquí presente, el más pequeño, el más grande, toma control de todas las mentes acá, de control mío también, te lo pido por favor, en Cristo Jesús, amén y amén. Y you can please open your Bible, and of course Brother Joseph is going to read, we're going to read in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Luke, chapter 8, 26 to 39, please.
Okay, and how about let's read responsively, starting in verse 26. So Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And when they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And you may be seated.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there any way that I can get my water, please? Okay. So thank you for reading the Bible with me. I'm not going to take too much time. And let me get my water. Thank you. All right. So I'm looking for my notes, okay? I came to America in 1998, and that was in May 11, 1998 that I came. And I came with the idea of working hard, you know, buying a Tacoma truck and making money, go back to my country and keep making money over there. You know, I was like 16, 17 years old. All I was thinking was making money, 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 money. You know, that's what the average people thinks about, you know, life, making money. Yeah. And I just wanted to be here 3 years. But I didn't stay 3 years. I stayed 21 years. I did work hard, and I never got the truck. So you know how that works. I wanted to make money, buy a house, start a business in my country, you know, and having possession, material things, because sometimes that's what we think that is going to make us happy, material stuff. Houses, cars, having money, having a big bank account, that's what we think that is going to make us happy. And I came to America illegally. You know, sorry. I came illegally to the country. And yes, I jumped and I ran through the border. Yes, I did. So you never knew a guy that was chased by immigration. Here I am. Okay? Just don't call them on me, okay? I'm leaving anyway. So, okay, so. I was going to North Carolina, brother. I was going to go work over there. And listen, I remember that it took me effort to come to this country. I mean, we walked through the Arizona desert for like 10 hours. We were walking at night through the desert. And brother, after we walked so many hours, someone called immigration on us. And all of a sudden, we hear the guy, La migra, la migra. And you know, you start hiding, everybody start hiding and running, but they got us, brother. They got us, they sent us back to Mexico. And you know, the funny thing is that when immigration got us right there, they put us in a bus, and they took us to the Mexican border, and when we were coming out of the bus, the immigration guy would tell us, see you tomorrow, guys, because they know you come back, you know. And yeah, so the next day we came back. Sorry. We came back. And but this time we came to Tijuana. And it took us like 8 hours walking through the mountains of Tijuana just to get to the freeway where they're going to pick us up. And the guy said, you know what? In 2 miles over there is a street. There's going to be a blue small car. That is, you know, and there's going to be like a cholo looking like Oscar guy right there. And they're gonna take you to San Diego. And you know, we saw the car, and all of a sudden we start running through the car, and they put 3 people in the trunk, and then they put 2 people behind the seat, like on the floor, and everybody was hiding right there. And we made it to San Diego. And then we came to California, to Los Angeles, California, in 1998. That was 21 years ago. And I started chasing my dreams. I started chasing, you know, the money that I wanted. I started working and working. And then I looked for an English school, but that time I didn't have any English on myself, and I wanted to talk to the gringos here, so I had to go to the English school, you know? So I went to the English school at night, working in the daytime, and just making money. I was like 17 years old, and I was making like $700 a week. That was a lot of money for a single guy like me, especially if I was coming from a country that, you know, you barely have something. But and then all of a sudden I met a guy. He was a youth pastor that was in the year 2000. And this youth pastor took me to the church in Southgate. And then I liked the church. I started getting involved in the church. I quit my job that I had. I was working Monday to Saturday making money. And all of a sudden I said, you know what? I need the Saturday because I want to go soul winning. And you know, they didn't want to give me the Saturday. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to quit this job. And then I started getting involved little by little. And my dreams were, you know, going away little by little. In 2001, that youth pastor became the Spanish pastor of this church. That's Pastor Rosalio Campa. In the year 2003, I decided to come over here with him and be part of his ministry. In 2004, Pastor Joe Esposito, he opened Bible College, and I asked Pastor Campa, you know what? What do you think? Should I go to the Bible College? I don't speak good English, but if they can help me with my broken English, hey, why not? So he said, yes, let's go. So I came to Bible College here, you know, and that was a blessing for me. Bible College is something great for me. I mean, I came to this Bible College. I love this church. I love this Bible College. This is where I learn everything that I know. This is where I learn convictions. This is where I learn separation from ungodly lifestyle. Come on. This is where I learn that you don't lose salvation. This is where I learn how to go soul winning. This is where I learn so many things from the Bible. I love this church. I love this country. Amen. But let me tell you something. I don't want to go back to my country. But it's time to go back. Amen. It's time to go back. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave JCPenney. I don't want to leave In-N-Out. I don't want to leave Walmart. You know, especially if they give you gift cards. I don't want to leave Applebee's. But you know what? Sometimes we want to stay in a place that where God doesn't want you. He doesn't want me here. He wants me to go back to my country, and that's where we're going to go back in a few weeks. Now, we see here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 26 to 39, we read all of those verses, but the key verse here is the verse 39, where Jesus Christ is telling this guy, go back to your own house, your own people, and tell them how great things he has done in your life. Now, talking about missionaries, God takes people from this country. Many times he takes them to another country. He's going to take them to... Oh. I thought it was La Migra already. I saw a white guy coming and said, oh, oh. Okay. Anyways, so talking about missions, sometimes God is going to take people from this place to another country. You're going to have to learn the language, another language. So that's called missionary. But also sometimes God is going to do something similar like what he said here, go back to your own people. And sometimes God is going to call people from here to go back to their people. And you say, oh, but I'm American. Yes, you are American, thank God. But you still have some Mexican on you. You still have some Filipino on you. You still have some Salvadorian on you. You still have some Guatemalan on you, some Colombian. You still have some Italian. You still have some European blood on you. And that's your people, whether you like it or not. And what about if God is going to tell you, hey, go back to your country and preach to them? He told this guy, you know what? I don't want you here. I want you to go back and tell them, show them what you learned. And that's what happens sometimes, that we come to this country and we found Jesus Christ and we learned so many things from the Bible. And now God is telling us, you know enough to go and preach to other people over there. But sometimes the problem is that we are waiting, that the white guy goes over there to the mission field and we are comfortable here in this country and we don't want to leave. But what about because God is telling you, hey, go back to your country. Go back to Cambodia. Go back to Laos. I don't want to go over there. But sometimes that's the way that the Lord works in your life. And we have so many nationalities here. And sometimes we have to go show the people that we know. In my country, the people, they believe very strongly that they can lose salvation. You know, it really breaks my heart to think that there are so many people in my country that they've been in the church for 20, 40 years in a church, being a member, sitting in the church, listening to the word of God every day. But when you ask them, where are you going to go when you die? They say, I don't know. So what do you mean you don't know? So you wasted all 20, 40 years and you don't believe that you're going to go to heaven when you die. That means you are not saved. That means you need Jesus Christ. And you know that salvation is eternal. Yeah, do you know that? I know that. But they need people like you and me that we were trained right to go over there and preach to them so they can be saved too. Right. And sometimes we come to America and we don't want to leave this country. And you know why is that? Because sometimes we think that America is the only one that can give you happiness. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Oh, in America, I can have my business. Oh, America, I can have this and that. And you are so scared to leave the country because you think that everything is here. Everything that you have is here. But no, everything comes from God. And if you are in the will of God, where He wants you to be, that's where He's going to bless you. If He wants you in Africa, that's where He's going to bless you. It doesn't matter where you are, but if you are in the will of God, that's where He's going to do something great for you. Hopefully you understand my English. But we are so comfortable with our weekly $1,000 check that we are so scared to leave this country. We are so scared to leave this country because I don't know if I'm going to have a house over there. I don't know if I'm going to have that Toyota Sienna, that Toyota this, Toyota that. Why? You are so comfortable in this country. But what about if God is talking to you? Hey, go back to Colombia. Ah, that's not my country. That's my parents. Yeah. But that's your people anyways. Go back to Guatemala, El Salvador, a comer pupusas. Hey, you don't know if God is telling you that. And, you know, we are so insecure. Well, you know, we think that the Lord is not going to provide for you. But He never is going to leave you alone. If you take care of the thing that He's telling you to do, if you do your part, He's going to do His. You're going to give for your tithes and offerings, He's going to take care of you. Yep. And if you give to missions. But sometimes, you know, we don't believe that. Let me share my last experience, and we're going to finish. The last Sunday that we were here, not this Sunday, but the other Sunday, I was about to go to an English conference. So, you know, Pastor Joe always said that the first impression is very important. So I didn't want to go like the way I dress here, you know, because you guys know me. You guys don't care if I come in shorts. No, I'm just playing. You know, but if I go to another church, I have to go presentable. So I didn't have a complete suit. You know, I'm just a khaki and then a blue jacket and let's go, you know. And so I told my wife, I need to buy a suit. So I went to Sears and JCPenney and $80, $100, $110. And I'm tan loco, I'm not going to pay all that money for a suit. That's a sin to pay $100 for a suit. Honestly. So I left that thing right there. And on Sunday night, I come to the church. And I knew I had to give for missions. I gave $100. I'm not saying to, he gave $100. No, I'm trying to give you an example of what the Lord can do for you. So I gave him $100 and I need that money for my suit, but it's okay, you know. So I put the money. After service, someone came to me and said, you know what, I want to be a blessing to you, $100 back. Amen. That was God. Amen. After that, two more people, I want to be a blessing for you, each of them $50. Someone gave my wife an envelope with $50 too. Amen. And where is the people that is telling you that God doesn't take care of you? Yeah. Where is the people? Show me the people. Yeah. The day, the Wednesday before I left to Wildomar, I went to look for sun jeans, you know, blue jeans or whatever it's called. And I went to Sears again because, you know, they have good specials there. I'm not getting doing promotion for them, but they have good specials, you know. So I went there and I went with my son. And they had a bunch of jeans right there that 50% and this and that is just a bunch of liars, you know, but they still get their money. You know? So I got like five jeans. I was going to pay like $150 with shirts and all that. And I was going to, you know, all happy. And all of a sudden I think, what am I doing? $150? Nah, I don't want that thing. So I left that thing. You know, on Wednesday night before I left over there, Pastor Campa comes with a full bag and he said, you know what, my uncle, he gave me a bunch of clothes, brand new, and I wanted to give it to you. Everything fit to me. 6 jeans, shirts, and everything just for me. You know who gave me that? Pastor Campa? Yes, that was God. That was God. Because simple, we have to believe. And sometimes probably you are like me. Sometimes, is it true that he's going to bless? But it's true, brother. It is true. Yeah, and let me tell you the last one. This is my phone right here. You see my phone? I almost break my phone. You see it? So, brother, I said, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to spend money on a new phone. $300, $400. I'm not going to spend money on that. So you want to give me a phone? Well, you know, you're welcome to give me a phone, you know. So, you know what? Let me tell you something. 2 days ago, someone came and gave me this, an iPhone. I didn't pay $1,000 for this. I didn't pay $700 like you did. I didn't pay $50 on top of your bill every month like you do. I just simply gave to missions. And where is the people that is telling you that God doesn't take care of you? Where is the people? It's sometimes that we just have to believe what he's telling us to do. Just give to missions. I can give to missions, the people say. But the same guy that is telling you that he cannot give to missions, the next day you find him with a $7 Starbucks coffee and he cannot give to missions. Can you believe that? I can give to missions. Oh, no, I can. My body is this and that, but you are giving the Toyota $600 a month. Oh, I can give to missions, but Honda is getting $700 out of your check every month. You see how we are? Everything is about material stuff. Everything is about what I can get for myself. Yeah, that's the way we are. I mean, me too. We can do something for God. I don't know if the Lord is telling you, go back to your country. Go back. Leave the gringos alone and go back. Leave them. Go back to your country. Go back to Cambodia, to Mexico, to your people. And tell them, show them what you learn here
in this place. I'm so thankful for this place. Really, I'm so thankful. I was trained under Pastor Joe Esposito. I learned so much from that man. I can tell you that I think he's going to be forever in my heart, honestly. Yep. I learned so much from him, and many of you too. He means a lot from us. Yeah. This church means a lot from us, to us. The college, the church, the ministry, we grew up here. But sometimes it's time to just stop doing what we're doing. Okay, Lord, you want me to leave this church, to this country, to go serve you somewhere else? Let's do it. But probably God is telling you, stop drinking Starbucks coffee and go to the Chinese little place for $1 a gallon of coffee. You know? So I don't know if the Lord is talking to you in something. I wish I can speak good English so I can preach good to you. But I do my best, you know? So thank you very much for listening. I want to ask you to please close your eyes, and I don't know who's going to come in close.